Last two Sundays, the last verses of that chapter, verses 5 through 8. We're going to look at the last segment of God's glory. As I was leading you over the last 2 weeks, we were going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, how God's Shekhinah glory showed up to the people, which he created. And then we followed last week the footsteps of God's appearances to the people throughout the Old Testament, as well as briefly taking a look at the New Testament, the greatest glory man has ever seen walking among men is when Jesus Christ was here himself. And then obviously we recognize that one of the greatest manifestations to the apostles was done at the Mount of Transfiguration, where they were absolutely flabbergasted. And for those of you who don't know how Peter reacted when he saw that, he made a profound statement. As a Jewish boy, he knew exactly where the glory of God is supposed to be living, in the tabernacle, in the temple. What was he suggesting? To make some dwelling places for all three of them who showed up, Moses, Elijah, and for Jesus. So he spoke prophetically as well as looking back into his upbringing, into his Jewish upbringing. This morning we're going to finalize it by looking at the prophetic word way into the future. That means we're going to look this morning at where does the Shekhinah glory show up during the time of the tribulation period, which we have studied portion of it, and during the time of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and then during the time which we know as the age of eternity. How does it show up? And how many of you are excited to know this is going to be glorious? This is going to be fantastic. Why I focus this morning on this is a very simple truth, which I want you to focus on that with me, because it is the only guide you have in the future. Do not be deceived. Let me say it again. This is absolutely crucial to understand. How does the glory of God come back to this earth? And all of us know that the glory of God will not come back in form of a star or in form of a human being. It's going to come back in the form of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. And so you and I need to know that, because there's so many great deceptions before Jesus comes back that will appear, that look like it's the real deal. And Christ has constantly warned his people not to go there. When they say, go into the desert, go and look here, or wherever, don't go there. So in Revelation chapter 15, we use it as a springboard to go deeper into the Word of God in some other verses. Let's begin reading chapter 15, verse 5. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. We already looked at that the Shekhinah glory is connected to the wrath of God as well. In the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, you can see when the Shekhinah glory all of a sudden showed up in the middle of the Jewish people, it meant judgment. The same Shekhinah glory will come down to this earth, and it will mean judgment for the world who has rejected the offer God made to every human being on this planet. It will be astounding to see how God will do it. He gives us a glimpse in his word. And obviously some of you say, well, I'm not going to have to see that because I'm going to be in heaven with God. Yeah, that would be fantastic, isn't it? But we don't know. You know, we really don't know, because let me tell you this. This world is in turmoil. It's in birth pang. It's in pain, in agony. Und wir read every day or hear every day something crazy is going on somewhere in the world. And if you happen to be right then and there when these things are happening, for you, the moment to see the Lord has occurred. It's right then and there. Some of us will last a little longer. However, when all these things are happening, it has nothing really to do with the Shekinah glory or with the wrath of God. This is going to be a very, very short period of time in the life of human beings. As a matter of fact, it's packed into 3.5 years. Very, very short period of time. 3.5 years where all these things are going to be wrapped up. So, last Sunday, I showed you in the Bible, in the book of Ezekiel, how the Shekinah glory departed. And I told you we're going to go back to it one more time because that's the way the Shekinah glory will return to this earth. Stage one, we said that the departure had taken place as the glory leaves the Holy of Holies, the inner of the inner sanctuary. So it leaves. And then the Shekinah glory kind of stood still right then and there at the door or the threshold, like some of the Bibles say, the door of the temple. It didn't leave the temple yet. So that was the second part. So it goes from the Holy of Holies, goes across the threshold, waiting by the door, like God would one more time scale the whole congregation, watching what they're going to do. And so from the door at the temples, Ezekiel writes that then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub that was in the Holy of Holies. The cherubims were on top of the Ark of the Covenant. It says, it went up from there and passed over the threshold of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud. And the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. He saw it all. Then the Shekinah glory moved on from the door of the temple. And it went towards the eastern gate. Some of you probably have heard in today's time, the gate, the eastern gate in the western wall is also known as the Golden Gate, correct? So it refers to the same, but it is not the same. And I'm going to look at that later with you in a second here. Ezekiel sees what's happening. Go back quickly to that. Yes, there, 18:19. Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And listen, and the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. So it's going out the east gate of the temple. Remember, the temple court was surrounded by a wall with the gates. And so the glory of God left through the east gate. So that's the third position. And then from there, the glory of the Lord went over to the east of the Temple Mount, which is the Mount of Olives. And Ezekiel saw that on the right. So the cherubim lifted up the wings with the wheels beside them. And the glory of the Lord of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. And we recognized immediately that's the place where Jesus departed from this earth and where the disciples were standing gazing up to heaven, and the angelic being said to them, don't gaze up to heaven the same way Jesus left. He will come back again. Okay? So the Mount of Olives. So there will be a little bit a different scenario when the one who claims to be the Messiah will enter into Jerusalem. He will not come down from heaven landing on the Mount of Olives. That alone will tell you, whoa, hold off a second. This is not the real deal. Then he will not go to the eastern gate into the temple. He will build the temple and he will go in and sits on the throne of the temple and declares himself to be God. And Jesus said, when that happens, flee. Because persecution will happen immediately afterwards for the Jewish people. And we're going to look at that a little later. Now you recognize these four stages of departure will be in reverse. Project the return of that glory. How many of you remember Jesus went a few times into the temple when he went to Jerusalem during his lifetime down here on earth? You remember that? And every time he made them preach or listen to a good feel message every time I went into the temple. You remember that? No, you don't remember that? What did he do? When he went inside, not just to the courtyard, in the courtyard he healed a lot of people. He declared himself what? The promised Messiah. But what did he do when he went the first time in there when he started his ministry? The Shekinah glory was within him and he cleaned the house of God, the wrath of God. People said the guy was angry. And he chased out some religious people, which he said were making the house of God a den of thieves. Jesus speaking, the loving, caring Jesus. Can you believe that? Then doing the awesome other visitations during the temple, he declared himself to be the living water. If you are thirsty, come to me. During the special feasts, he simply connected the meaning of the feasts to who's standing there. The Messiah, the promised Messiah. Then just prior to his departure, he went one more time into the temple, like he wouldn't have upset already all the religious establishment. The last week, which we know as the Passion Week, he went one more time in there with great passion. What did he do then? You read it in the Bible. He cleaned out the temple again. He cleaned it out twice. At the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. He said, get out of here. Did they like him for it? Was one of the main reasons why they said, crucify him, get rid of that guy. He's killing our established religious environment. He's upsetting the apple cart. Can't have him around here. But that is when the Shekinah glory enters into the temple. God cannot tolerate when people play games proclaiming to be representing him when they do not represent him. What do you think Jesus will find when he comes back to this earth? Same thing. Only this time he will not just clean out the temple, this time he will clean up the earth. I give you three prophetic steps of the Shekinah glory reappearing and what it means and how it manifests itself. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at the first time Shekinah glory will return again, and that is when Jesus will come back to this earth. Oh yes, my friends. Some people believe that there is no such thing. He'll not come back. He will come back. How many of you know every word he spoke will be fulfilled? He will come back to this little earth, so you don't have to go and look for Pluto or Mars or any other little planet to maybe want to relocate. He will come back to this earth. It's just a little insertion here. Some of you get all upset and excited when things are happening in the world. And there's a lot of prophetic messages being coming across the world today because of what's happening in the Middle East. And I have to tell you, that maybe shocks you, but listen carefully to me. Do not go out on the fringes. Go back to the Word of God. I hear so many sincere preachers who say that the next Antichrist will be a Muslim because look what the Muslims are doing. The Islamic world is taking over. This is not what the Bible says. Read it. God is not stuttering. When he says that there will be a revived Roman Empire, he's not talking about an Islamic world. That will be a revived Ottoman Empire. For those of you who don't know, you need to study the history again. The revived Roman Empire is the European Union. What is in the symbol of the flag of the European Union? You don't know? Oh, shame on you. There is the copy, a counterfeit copy of what Israel stands for, where the sun is surrounded by the 12 stars. The European Union uses that as their flag, saying we have replaced them. We are in charge. And who is talking like this? That's the Antichrist. who says he has replaced him. He is the real deal. You will see when this world is all settled down and the dust has settled and the chaotic situation comes back to a normalcy, but the world is just loving it. Jesus said, when they say peace and safety, watch out, sudden destruction will come. Right now we see the upheaval and the chaotic situation, which is stirred up by political leaders who have not a clue about anything. And they are actually doing Satan's work, not even knowing it, and God uses to fulfill his prophetic word. Can you believe that? And you and I are sitting here and watching the things unfold. Wow. Stay to the word of God. Stay true to the word of God, no matter what the world says. If you study the human history, you will find out during the Ottoman Empire, when the Muslims overrun Europe and the entire Middle East and built a dome on the rock, the Christians preached everywhere. That is the Antichrist. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, you and I are still here and the tribulation hasn't happened yet. Because it was interpreted wrong. We will see. I can guarantee you with absolute certainty. Man will come up with all kinds of crazy ideas, but God's word always will be true. Always will be true. Study the word of God. Look what Jesus said to his disciples. They had problems too. How many of you know that? You're in good company. They have problems too. They thought he's here. He's going to establish everything. Everything is going to be fulfilled. That's 2,000 years ago. And they thought this is it. And when Jesus said, no, it's not it. Look what Peter did to him. This is the beloved Peter. You know, the Pope wants to say he's kind of the outgrow of Peter. You know, Peter was the foundation and the popes are now, you know, the representative of what Peter did. They're bad representatives. Do you know what Peter did to Jesus when Jesus said, no, this is not going to happen. The Son of Man has come for an entirely different purpose. He comes to go to Jerusalem, will be betrayed, will be handed over by the religious leaders to the political leaders. By the way, mark that. That's the way it's going to happen at the end time. The religious leaders will hand you over to the political leaders and the political leaders will kill you. Jesus said, that's the way it's going to go. And Peter said, no. You say, no, that's not what he said. Look, verse 22. Peter took him aside. He took Jesus aside, the Son of God. And you rebuked him. No, let me explain that to you. Peter rebukes Jesus. Can you believe that? He's the Shekinah glory dwelling in human form. And Peter looks at him and said, this is not going to happen. Far be it from you, Lord. It shall not happen to you. And look what Jesus said. Get behind me, what? He looks at Peter. He looks him straight in the face and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Then Jesus looked around, takes his disciples and said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, he's not done yet. For the Son of Man will come in what? In the glory of his Father with his angels, the Shekinah glory. He will come. And then, not now, Peter, then he will reward each according to his works. Then. Jesus connects that rebuke of God's word being fulfilled to every tittle, every word, everything, every detail will be fulfilled. He connects that directly to his return to this earth. Isn't that amazing? And what do we see today in churches? We come up with every imaginable idea because things in the world are happening a certain way, and we are reading the scriptures through the lenses of what's happening in the world. You need to turn that around. Read the scriptures first and read everything that happens in the world through the lens of the scripture. Because this is going to be fulfilled. The rest comes and goes. Go with me to chapter 24, same book. Verses 29 and 30. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, immediately after the tribulation, are there such a thing as a tribulation? Period. Is there such a thing? Oh, Jesus confirmed it. He said, there will be. The book of Revelation was not written yet, correct? There was no such thing as a detailed revelation of the tribulation period. And Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. This is why I told you when the blood moons showed up, I said, just forget it. It will happen after the tribulation when it counts. The rest is just normal, everyday stuff for God. This is after the tribulation of those days. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then, not before, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear where? In heaven. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That will be Shekinah glory, the Father's glory. He will come back with that. Then, when will that happen? After the great tribulation. Not in the middle, not before, after. That's when he will come. He will not come from Medina. He will not come from the Middle East. He will come from heaven. And all the world will witness it. Just keep your eyes on the heaven. Doesn't it say, when you know all these things are happening, look where? Up, it says. You got the Bible. It says, look up. It doesn't say, look over to the Middle East. It doesn't say, look over to the West. It says, look up. Because that's where the Son of God, our redemption, comes from. Look up. Jesus himself affirmed the fact that he will return to this earth not hidden, but in the Father's glory for everyone to see. And do you know what? For those of you who have prayed so many prayers to God and never seen an answer, Jesus prayed that that day will come. He prayed to the Father just before he went to the cross. And it will take 2,000 some years until that prayer gets answered. And you claim to have a right to complain because God did not answer your prayer when you said amen? It should be there. I can prove that to you. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Just hold on. God will answer the prayer. But not by texting you tomorrow. He's not in a hurry. How many of you know that? He has a perfect, very specific plan, and he will answer it according to his plan. In chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, John records what we know as the high priestly prayer. It's actually a prayer where the disciples were privileged to listen to how Jesus communicates with the Father. Jesus could have spoken that prayer silently. Or he could have gone to the desert all by himself and nobody would have known what he said. But he said it out loud in front of the disciples. What do you think the purpose was? For you and me to know what he prayed. Because all his prayers will be answered. And as Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He didn't look at the people. He looked up to heaven, to the Father. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may be glorified in you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life. Mark that in your Bible. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Circle that in your Bible. Because this is the only true life you can find. There's no true life found in any other religious leaders. Only the Father, and his name is Jehovah, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is not Allah. Make sure of that. And you can only get to know him through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I have glorified you on the earth, Jesus said. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, listen, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. This is Shekhinah glory right there. He's asking the Father that he will eventually, through Jesus, show to the whole world what the Shekhinah glory is all about. Remember, in his flesh it was veiled. That glory was veiled. You couldn't see it. Now Jesus is praying that the Father will bring that back to full circle so that the man and woman of this world and the children can see the Father's glory again. And he says, Father, let that be done as you give it to me as we always had it before. Why? Because when Jesus came the first time, they couldn't see the glory. But when he comes the second time, that prayer will be answered. That's what we just read earlier. And the whole world will see him when he comes in the Father's glory. The whole world will see him. This is the prayer answered after 2,000 some years. Wow. So that's just a foretaste of when Jesus will illuminate this entire planet when he comes back. Wow. And nobody, listen, nobody will escape it. No one. You say, oh, people will dance in the streets. They will be so happy that he finally arrives because the world has been upside down and things are going to be bad and they're just going to embrace him with open arms. Wrong. They will shake in their boots when they see him coming. Because when the Shekhinah glory shows up, it will shake this earth. When Ezekiel looked into the temple in the vision, he saw the pillars in the temple in heaven shaken in the presence of God. The pillars were literally shaken in the presence of God. When Jesus comes back, this whole earth will shake. As a matter of fact, the Bible reveals to us at his return, when he sets his foot, the glorified foot, on the Mount of Olives, the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen will occur. That's when earthlings meet God. It will turn everything upside down. I'm going to show you later how that's going to look in the Middle East. It's exciting what God has in store. He doesn't have any stocks in Caterpillar. He doesn't need bull equipment. He doesn't need any such thing. He's going to do it by simply setting his foot on the mountain and he rearranges the entire geological and topographical area in the Middle East. Everything will be redone. No bulldozers, nothing. Just setting his glory onto this earth. We'll do it. So, then when he comes back, oh, by the way, since you're such an incredible class, don't you know most of what the Bible says? Some of you are laughing, going, oh no. No, he's going to give us a real tough one. Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a homework assignment for you. When Jesus comes back to this earth, he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to go against the ruler of this world who set himself up in place of Jesus. And he's going to fight the battle and he's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth. Where is Jesus coming from when he's going to meet the enemy in the valley of Megiddo? That's the question. You're going to give me the answer next week. Where does he come from? He doesn't come from heaven, he's already down here on earth. Where does he come from and from where does he lead the army of Israel against the army of the Antichrist? Okay? Good. Boy, that got quiet. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Believe me, it is there. Just an interesting thing. Which brings me to the next second spot. which we're going to focus on. And that is, go with me to Ezekiel 43. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 43. We're going to look at the Shekinah glory when Jesus rules this earth. He comes back. He's going to set up his kingdom. But Jewish people always asking, when is the messianic kingdom come? When is the Messiah here ruling as the king on the throne of David? So Jesus will come here to this earth for 1,000 years to rule. Now let me tell you this. I know that there are people, Bible Answer Man is one of them. He's a little crazy. He said, well, this 1,000 year means nothing. Yes, when the Bible says it's 1,000 years, it's 1,000 years. How many of you know that? I know you can say, well, but 1,000 years like a day. But that's not in man's eyes, that's in God's eyes. There's 1,000 years which the Lord Jesus will come and he will rule and reign on this earth. 1,000 years. And when he comes, the greatest manifestation of the Shekinah glory will then be projected to all the people in this world. Because God's glory will be visible, a visible manifestation of God's glory will be on this earth, and it will be in the Holy of Holies during the millennial kingdom. Let's go to Ezekiel 43. Let's read the first 7 verses. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faces toward the east. Here we go again. Here now, Ezekiel is telling us how the glory, the Shekinah glory, will come back. He says, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. It's a little hint for your homework. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord came into the temple by way of the gate which faces toward the east. He mentioned this twice. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You see, he came from the east to the inner court. Now he is in the temple on the threshold. Listen. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the sole of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel. For how long?
Forever.
That is the time when Moses and Solomon's prayers will be answered. Remember, Lord, let your dwelling be here forever. And I told you, God didn't answer then. He will answer when he comes back during the millennial reign. No more shall the house of Israel defile my holy name. Then they nor the kings, by the hodl tree or with the carcasses of the kings on the high places. No more. Question. Is Israel today, as we know, defiling as a nation the holy name of God? Absolutely. But there will be a day coming when that's coming to come to an end. And it will be when the Messiah is in the midst. There will be a temple. And God's glory will be in there. There are a lot of important details in here. The first 3 verses, you see the Shekinah glory will come from the east, will go the same way back in like it left. Some important details maybe to mention. I mentioned briefly last Sunday, and I want to make sure that you get that. This eastern gate here, Ezekiel is speaking of, has nothing to do with the present golden gate. Remember? The eastern wall. How many of you know why this has nothing to do with it? Remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem about 33 AD, when he got crucified. The Romans were occupying that land. At that time, it was not Solomon's temple that was standing. Which temple was standing in Jerusalem? It was Herod's temple. Herod was known as a phenomenal architect. You can look that up. Google has a few things, right? So you can look it up. Herod's temple Well, that temple and the Temple Mount was built for a period of over 50 years. It was not done overnight. As a matter of fact, the little remaining wall today, where that so-called Eastern Gate is in, was built about 20 years after Jesus left this earth. Jesus never went to that gate. That wall was not even standing when he was here on this earth. So, that has no prophetic meaning whatsoever. So if you maybe have relations to Jewish people, or you may know somebody, or you may think, you know, your prayers are not being answered when you pray today, and so you're going to send a little prayer to Israel, you know, then they wrap it into a little paper and stick it in the wall, I have better news for you. If you get up in the morning and you have breath in you, you can pray and God hears you. He doesn't have to go via Jerusalem. He listens to you. You can talk to him right then and there. The only people who are going to make a benefit out of it with these little prayers which you stick in the wall is the Jewish people, because it costs you something. How many of you know Jews don't do anything without getting anything out of you? That's the pray. They are business people. They know how to make a dollar turn into $6 in a very brief period of time. But when Ezekiel is speaking, he's not speaking about this particular wall. He's speaking about a millennial temple. There will be another temple built, okay? Probably you and I are going to see it. I don't know. We don't know. But the way the world goes, it could be an indication that we're going to be able to see it in our generation. There will be another temple built, but that temple is not built for Jesus. That temple will be built for the Antichrist. While the Jewish people believe, they get deceived, they believe that they build it so they can reinstitute the sacrifices to God Almighty, the Antichrist has entirely different plans. He's going to stop the living sacrifice things they do when they kill those animals from the Jewish people, calls it an abomination. He himself will be sitting in the temple during the tribulation period. And you and I know the Bible reveals to us all hell will break loose when he does that. And then that will be destroyed. How many of you know that temple will not survive the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen? So it will be done. There will be a millennial kingdom when Jesus comes back with a temple built again. This time is for the real king, for the real Messiah, with all its glory. We know that as the millennial temple, which the Jews believe they built during the tribulation period. But that millennial temple will be for Christ. There will be no Antichrist moving in there. Okay? Isaiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 tell us about that millennial temple and the glory of God. He says, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by the day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain. Does that sound familiar? How did God lead the Israelites through the desert for 40 years? Isaiah wrote that 700 years before Christ came. Long time after God led the Israelites to the desert. And he said, there will be such a dwelling place over Mount Zion. For those of you who maybe have some biblical problems with names, Mount Zion is not Mount Sinai. These are two entirely different mountains. Okay, Mount Zion is in Israel, where Mount Sinai is in the Arab Peninsula, probably in Saudi Arabia today. These are two entirely different places. Okay, so when he speaks about Mount Zion, he's speaking about Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem. And there will be that glory cloud hovering again during the millennial time. And it is visible, listen, it is visible like the old Israelites saw it when they were in the desert. And God makes it visible in such a way that it becomes a shelter for them. Isn't that what Jesus said? You who are weary and heaven laden, come unto me and I will give you rest, a resting place, a shelter. God will do that for the people in Israel. By the way, that tells me the sun will not burn out tomorrow. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to shelter them from the heat. That tells me that global warming has not destroyed this planet yet, because there will be rain and storms happening during the millennial reign, and God will give them shelter. You will get a lot of answers just from reading the book. Huh? Isn't it amazing? And Isaiah said, this all happens during the millennial reign when Christ is here. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Zechariah is a powerful prophet. He speaks of the incredible return of Jesus Christ. He said to him, run, speak to these young men, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls. Listen, in the old days, Jerusalem was never without walls. One of the greatest sight for the people who came to that area in the world was watching these walls that protected Jerusalem from invaders. But there will be, again, Jerusalem without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. That's speaking about the millennial reign. Christ said, they don't need protection, physical protection. I protect them. Isn't that awesome? He said, well, it will be right there. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom at the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Jern. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. God's glory will be back. Some people say, well, when Israel came in 1948 back to that land, and they irrigated the entire sections and made it blossom again, that's the fulfillment of that prophecy. No. That's not the fulfillment. There was no glory of the Lord yet. They just did that with praying power. That's just a foreshadowing. When this speaks about when God gives them the abundant rain and everything they need. Do you know Israel during the millennial reign will be the breadbasket of the world? Do you know what is tested today will be blossom and will be agriculture and will feed the entire world population? There's a lot of sand to be moved, you know? How many of you know, for God, that's not a big deal? Isaiah 60. Isaiah gets all excited. In chapter 60, verse 1 to 3, he says, "For rise, shine." How many of you have ever heard that say to a congregation? Pastors love to say that. But that's not for you or me. That's actually for Israel. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. That's Isaiah prophesying when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and he sets up his glory in Jerusalem. And every nation, every year, will have to send their representatives to Israel to pay once a year homage to the king. Every nation who does not send a delegation, it's in the Bible, by the way, that means there are nations who will not send the delegation. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. Every nation does not send the delegation to do homage to the ultimate king of glory. That year, for 12 months, that land will have no rain. And crop failure. That's simple. Because God will be ruling and reigning for 1,000 years out of Israel. All these verses speak about God's glory in prophecy, yet to be fulfilled. Haven't been fulfilled yet. Jesus Christ will again be visible on this earth. This time, not as the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the whole world will see it. Which brings me to the end of the 1,000-year reign. And people say, okay, and then the whole world will blow up. An asteroid will hit it. Oh, by the way, that's another thing. An asteroid will not destroy this earth. How can Jesus set up for 1,000 years his kingdom in Jerusalem if an asteroid will just burn us all up and we just explode? People go, oh, there are so many asteroids going. Oh, yeah, they are. They come and go. This world will stand. Our Lord Jesus will rule and reign for 1,000 years. People say, we got so many nukes. We will blow this earth up. This earth will not be blown up. The Lord Jesus will rule and reign here for 1,000 years. And you know what? You and I are going to come back with him and rule and reign with him. Are you guys excited? Yeah. This is exciting. God has so much more in store for you and me than we could ever dream of. Then when the 1,000 years are over, we say, okay, Lord, we're done. We're in retirement. How many of you know God doesn't have that kind of word? It's not in there. Life just begins after 1,000 years. Go with me to Revelation 21. I give you a sneak preview because it will take another 6 months before we get there otherwise. So give you a sneak preview. How about that? Revelation chapter 21. That's, by the way, not the last chapter, second last chapter. But there's so much exciting stuff coming our way. And in the 21st chapter, you see the Shekinah glory during the eternal age. When eternity begins, there will be no end to this age. There will be no other age coming after that. Or some people may would say a dispensation, whatever it is. It's just a period of time where God moves in a certain very specific way. This is the eternal age, and there is no change to that. It will be eternity. Look at the first three verses. And I saw the new heaven and the new earth. By the way, new heaven and new earth does not mean that God blew everything up. How many of you know he's in the remodeling business? Yeah. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. There will be such a thing as the lakes, the oceans are gone. How many of you know 2/3 of this world right now is covered by water? There will be no ocean anymore. Have you ever read in the Bible it says that the ocean have to give up the dead? When God dries it up. But the global warming people tell us the ice is melting. And if ice melts, how many of you have ever had a science class? There's more water. Just put an ice cube on your kitchen table and wait for a while. There will be more water. This is all hogwash. You know what hogwash is in Iowa? Revelation 21. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he, that's Christ, will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Permanently, forever. Will never change. Verses 1 and 2, if you look at it, describes that New Jerusalem. Verse 3 describes the presence of God in that New Jerusalem. During the Old Testament times, when God's glory tabernacled among his people, the Shekinah glory was seen by all the people because God was just over the tabernacle. During this New Jerusalem coming down, during this eternal time, God will be in the midst. He will not be just in the tabernacle. He will tabernacle in us and with us. Wherever we go, God is there. Jerusalem will have the glory of God. And in verses 23 and 24 in that chapter, you can read, and the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. What did Jesus say what he is? I am the light of the world. He will light it up for good. Not even the sun, not the moon will light up. He will light it up. Now, if you will go to Ephesians chapter 5, where we see a parallel scripture of that 21st chapter, where it says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring the glory and honor into it. This is why I tell you, the earth will keep on going. There will be nations. Can you believe that? There will be nations. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what it says. For you were once darkness. How many of you have to say amen to that? But now you are what? Light in the Lord. You're not light on your own. Light, you know, some of you would like to light up something. But you are light in the Lord. Because that light is dwelling in us, and the Shekinah glory is in us, what can we do in this world with it? Walk as children of light. Don't walk in darkness. Don't take everything that comes along from the world. Walk as children of light. Because throughout eternity, what will we do? We will walk in the light. It's kind of a prelude, if you want so, what we're doing today. We walk in the light. This word is the light. It gives us light every day on our path so we know how to walk. And we should walk as children of light in that light. That's, by the way, not a suggestion. That's a command by the Lord. Walk as children of light. If there is a people group on this planet today that should not be afraid of the future, it is the true born-again believers. We have the greatest future ahead. One day you stand in the presence of God, and if God would be like me, he would look at you and stick his finger in your face. No, that's what I would do, and say, why in the world did you not believe God's word? How many of you know God will not do that? He maybe looks at it and says, I told you so. We should be the most excited people on this planet. The worse it gets, the more light there shines into it. The Lord Jesus is still among his people. He's doing his work. And one day he will come to this earth. And everyone will see it. And everybody will have no questions anymore who he is. And it will be then when that walking in the light will be visibly manifested to everyone. What a day it will be. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Yes, your book was given to us, written by many people through many different ages, from many different countries, from many different eras of life, under severe persecution, yet they did write so we can have it. You inspired them. You gave them the words. You gave them the visions. You gave them all the things they needed to write it down. May we never take it for granted. May we always cherish your word, study your word, and get excited about it. May we follow that word day by day. May we be children of light walking in it, not just proclaiming it, but walking in it. And Lord, may this world be shaken. You are never being shaken. We find shelter in you. You are a miracle God. And you are still performing miracles among your people. Give us a faith that is unshakable, eyes to see and ears to hear, and a will to say, yes, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen. Amen.